Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janabalabha Giri Bhadatari Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Bhadatari Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jai Hurad Humadhava Kunya Bihari Jai Hurad Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Bhadatari Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Bhadatari Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Dada Braja Jana Ranjaguna Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jai Uradhu Madhva Kunja Bihari Jai Uradhu Madhva Kunja Bihari Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Rad. Hagulokananda Radha Hagulokananda Radhe Jai Radha Hagulokananda Radha Gulokananda Radhe Jai Radhe Jai Radhe Jai Radhe Jai Rad, hey, Jai Rad, hey, Jai Rad, hey, Jai Sri Rad, hey. Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Alsu Teda Satishi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chandanada Bhakvananda Gosami Srila Prabhupada Gijai Iskand Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Gijai Anandakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Gijai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Gijai Prem, say, oh, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu, Nityananda, Shidwaita, Gadadha, Shivasati, Gaur, Bhakta, Vrinda, Gijaya, Shri Shri, Radhakrishna, Gopikovata, Sayam, Gun, Radhakunda, Giri, Govardhan, Gijaya, Vrindavanam, Gijaya, Janata, Swami, Gijaya, Murmai, Gijaya, Shivani, Lasi, Devi, Gijaya, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gijaya Gaur Brahmananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Gijaya Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Saya Bhutale Srimati Bhakta Padanta Swami Namani Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharani, Nivashesha Shunyavadi, Paschacha, Dejatarni. So, Omagana, Timidandasha, Gananjana, Shalakaya, Takshur, Unmitam, Dena, Tasmai, Shigurvaina Maha. So, as I promised today, we're going to go on a very quick tour of Radhakund. And Radhakund is connected with Govardhan. We'll explain that in a second. Here we go. With the tour of Radhakund and Shyamakund. So, we start this off. It's called Radhakund and Shyamakund, a transcendental show. And we are going. Yeah?
Maharaj, the voice, your voice is okay, but in between it's like cracking. I'm not sure if something can be done about it. Like, there's some cracking sound.
The voice
like
is cracking.
At the end of every sentence, it's kind of like you. It goes like krr, like it's it's not continuous. It's just
okay. Let's see. I'll change my mic and see what happens. Hold on a second. Thank you for telling me.
Right. Do you still have the same problem now, Ditya?
No, Mara, I think it's better now.
Okay. Better. Okay. All right. All righty. So, this is called Radhakund and Shyamakund, a transcendental show. And Radhakund and Shyamakund are situated right at the head of Govardhan. Govardhan is shaped like a peacock. And we've described this before. Here you see an aerial view of Govardhan. And on the head of Govardhan, there's the two eyes, which are Radhakund and Shyamakund. I think you see the arrow. And there's the stomach of Govardhan. And then there's the tail of Govardhan. We talked about the Govardhan Parikrama last week. And so here is a close-up of Radhakund and Shyamakund. We have Shyamakund here. I mean, Radhakund here, sorry. And Shyamakund here. And as you see, Shyamakund is shaped very irregularly. And the reason for that is that when Raghunath Das Goswami, who is basically the acharya of Radhakund and Shyamakund, was arranging for the excavation of Shyamakund, he had a dream. And in that dream, the five Pandavas revealed to him that they were actually living on the banks of the Shyamakund as trees. And they said, please don't cut us down. And so he arranged for the excavation to be done around the trees. Therefore, you find an irregularly shaped Shyamakund. And Radha and Krishna have many of their intimate pastimes in these places. And there's many small lakes, and even the caves under Govardhan, in which they enjoy their pastimes. We're just going to quote a little bit from the Upadeshamrita and from Prabhupada to understand the exalted position of Radhakund and Chamakund. And I'll read this. The holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world, because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathurapuri is the transcendental forest of Vrindavana because of Krishna's Rasalila pastimes. And superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill, where it was raised by the divine hand of Sri Krishna and was the site of his various loving pastimes. And above all, the super excellent Sri Radhakund stands supreme, for it is overflooded with the ambrosial nectarian prema of the Lord of Gokula, Sri Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine Radhakund, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? So in other words, it's the topmost pilgrimage place anywhere. And we've often mentioned before that all the various pilgrimage places are manifest in their original aspect in the Braj area. There's even a Lakshman jewel in there in Braj. And all the aspects of Lord Shiva's abode are manifest there. All Ayodhya is manifest there. Everything is manifest originally in Braj. And outside of Braj, you have expansions of these various original holy places. And just more information for you, among all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. Her Kund Lake is as profoundly dear to Lord Krishna as this most beloved of the gopis, who then will not reside at Radhakund and in a spiritual body, surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings of Prakrita Bhava, render loving service to the divine couple Shishi Radha Govinda, who perform their Ashta Kaliya Leela, their eternal eightfold daily pastimes. Indeed, those who execute devotional service on the banks of Radhakund are the most fortunate people in the universe. Of the many objects of favorite delight of all the lovable damsels of Brajabhumi, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love. And in every respect, her divine kund is described by great sages as similarly dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radhakund is very rarely attained, even by the great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is fully aroused. So little information how Radhakund came to be. Once upon a time, there was a demon sent by Kamsa who was known as Arishta, and his last name was Asura. So when you put Arishta together with Asura, you get Arishtasura. That's a bull demon, and he came in the form of a bull, and he was terrifying all the residents of Raj. And so Krishna just made very swift deal with him. He took out his horns, kicked, thrashed the bull, killed the bull, and as we see here, knocked him to the ground with his foot, and he yanked out the demon's horns and struck him with it until the demon was dead. So, after that happened, Radharani said to Krishna, I'm not going to go, and the gopis also said, we're not going to go near you again because you have killed a bull. Anyone who kills a bull or a cow is most sinful. So, therefore, you have to go bathing in all the holy places. And so what Krishna did, to make a long story short, he created the Shamakund, and he called for all, please put yourself on mute, whoever is talking. And he called for all the holy places, and the holy places filled Shamakund. And then Krishna said to Radharani that you can, and Krishna took a bath there. And then Krishna said to Radharani, you can actually take a bath in my kund. And she said, I'm not going to take a bath in your kund. It is contaminated from the killing of a bull. We're going to make our own kund. So she and her associates dug out with their various implements, like jewelry and such like that. another hole in the ground, and they tried to fill it with the water from the Manasi Ganga. They were unsuccessful. Krishna said, you can use the water from my kund. And they said, no, your water is contaminated. Finally, all the holy places came and begged Radharani to be able to fill her kund, and that kund is known as Radhakund. So that's how Radhakund and Shyamakund came about. So this is our first view as we enter into the Radhakund area. And there's, of course, a marketplace, a subject market. But right next to that subject market is Radhakund. And we offer our Dandavada obeisances at Radhakund. And before we can go on the parikrama of Radhakund, we have to take permission from Lord Shiva. It's interesting that Lord Shiva is the Dikpala, who's the guardian of all the various holy places actually in the world. And in this particular case, Lord Shiva, who guards Radhakund, is known as Kundeshwara Mahadev. And so, as Kundeshwara Mahadev, we beg him for permission to go around the rest of Radhakund. And fortunately, he gives us permission. So there's an etiquette. Whenever you go to a holy place, there's an etiquette of how you approach that holy place. As we mentioned last week, when you're going to do the Govardhan Parikrama, you approach Haridev, the self-manifested deity of Krishna, who is holding up Govardhan Hill, who manifested himself when he was trying to hide from the gopis who were looking for him. So in this particular case, we get permission from Kundeshwara Mahadev. In Raj or Vrindavan, town of Vrindavan, we get permission from Gopishwara Mahadev, who is Lord Shiva, who appears as a gopi, a female. So it's very, very important to approach Lord Shiva in the proper attitude. So after we get permission, as we're starting to circumambulate Radhakund, the first thing we see is the jhulan, or the swing of Radha and Krishna. Now, actually, what you see here is not the original swing. This is a made of concrete. But in this locale, Srila Sanatan Goswami had a vision. And he saw a young girl on a swing with a beautiful braid in the back of her hair. Her hair was braided. And that braid looked like a snake, and he thought it was a snake, and he went up to the young girl, and he's saying, oh, girl, a snake is on your head, or is, you know, on your back. And she laughed and ran away, and this snake was actually her braid. So this happened at this particular locale. The first deities that were discovered in Radhakund were discovered by Raghunath Das Goswami as he was excavating Radhakund. So here's some pictures, actually, of Radha and Krishna swinging. Beautiful pictures. And we'll go to the first temple in a second. So this is called, this temple, which you see a younger incarnation of me, is called the Puran Mandir. Puran, of course, means old or original Mandir. So the deities in this particular temple were discovered by Raghunath Das Goswami when he was excavating or supervising the excavation of Radhakund. They were within the kund. So the deities are Radhakrishna Puran deities. I mean, that's the only name the Pujari here has ever given us of the deities. And here you see a picture of the deities and the temple outside where we were talking to the devotees. And a close-up of those deities. So these are the original Radhakrishna deities of the Radhakund area. Of course, Radhakund was discovered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was in Braj. He saw two little ponds in a paddy field. And he jumped into them, and he was bathing in these little ponds and basically, nobody knew what he was doing. And he revealed that these ponds were Radhakund and Shyamakund. Later on, they were expanded by different devotees, particularly Raghunath Das Goswami, and later on by other devotees. And what you see now is expansions of those original palms of Radhakund and Shyamakund. Then we backtrack a little bit now, going on the main Parikrama road, but backwards, to visit the temple that was established by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This temple at the entrance of Radhakund, when one is going on the proper direction on the Parikrama path around Govardhan. So this temple, established by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, has also a Pushpa Samadhi of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj in it. Very beautiful deities there. Radhakunji Bihari. And then, after seeing that temple, we go backtrack even further and take a side road, and we get to the place where the pearl pastime took place. This is called Malya Hari Kund. A very interesting story. Here we are telling the devotees the story. And what happened is that Krishna asked the gopis for pearls because he wanted to decorate all of his cows with pearls. And the gopis, of course, refused and said, this is ridiculous. You know, decorating all the cows and all the animals with pearls is not really appropriate. And so then Krishna thought, well, I got to get my own pearls. So Krishna went to his mother, Mother Yashoda, and asked her for some pearls so he could plant the pearls in the ground and the pearls would grow up as pearl trees. And Yashoda Mahi said to him, this is not how pearls come about. Pearls come from the ocean. They're from, you know, oysters and animals like that. And so Krishna said, no, you have to give them to me. And finally convinced Yashoda Mahi. He planted them in the ground and watered them with all sorts of milk products, not water, but actually ghee and milk and yogurt. And eventually they started grow plants. And the gopis were laughing at the same time. But after some time, these plants, these creepers, produced multicolored pearls. And with these multicolored pearls, Krishna decorated all the cows, and not only all the cows, Krishna decorated, not the gopis at this point, Krishna decorated the monkeys and all the animals, but he didn't decorate the gopis. And the gopis actually were quite upset. They asked for some pearls, Krishna refused, and they thought that they would grow their own pearl trees. So what they did is they stole the pearls from their mothers because they couldn't convince their mothers to give them the pearls. And they planted the pearls in the ground. And they watered and watered and watered. Out came some sprouts, and they were basically thorn trees. And they were very upset because not only did they not have any pearls from themselves, but they had stolen the pearls from their mothers, and they would be in trouble. So they went to Krishna and begged for the pearls. And Krishna said, no, you did not give me any of your pearls, so I'm not going to give you any of my pearls. Too bad. And then basically, there was big arguments back and forth. Finally, Krishna, being soft-hearted, gave them each a box of pearls, and on the box was engraved the gopis' names. So that's what you see here. See, so many pearls. All right, after this pearl passed on, then we turn back and go back on the Parikrama Road, go back to the Parikrama Road around Radhakund, and we enter the Parikrama path exactly where the Govardhan Parikrama path enters Radhakund. And the first temple we see is the Radhakanta temple of Prakeshwar Pandit. Prakeshwar Pandit was renowned because he was a great dancer. He would dance 72 hours, and Lord Chaitanya said, if I had two devotees like you, you were like a wing, and if I had two devotees like you, I could fly in the air. So he's an amazing dancer, 72 hours without stop, chanting the Lord's holy names and dancing. There's a beautiful painting on the outside of the temple, and these are the deities of Radha Radhakanta. Actually, incidentally, in our temple in New Orleans, and also in New Taliban, the deities are called Radha Radhakanta deities. And there's also the Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, and the Lita Devi next to Radha Radhakanta. Then you cross the street, and then there's ISKCON's Gopal Temple, which is run by the Manipur devotees, who are generally followers of Bhakti Swarup Damodara Maharaj, the great scientist who Srila Prabhupada encouraged to actually show life comes from life, rather than life comes from dull matter. And he opened up our preaching programs in Manipur, which Srila Prabhupada said would be the first super Krishna conscious state in India. And here's a samadhi. Now recently, of course, this is not a recent picture, but recently the samadhi has been finished, a beautiful white marble structure. And I'll try to update some of these pictures the next time I go. Hopefully I can go soon to Radhakund and Govardhan, but we will see. It is up to Krishna whether we can travel or not. So then we go on a side street right after we pass that temple to the Radha Shyama Sundara Temple. The Radha Shyama Sundara Temple was started by Shyamananda Prabhu. Shyamananda Prabhu was the second generation devotee from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He, Narottamadas Thakur and Srinivas Acharya were the first distributors of transcendental literature outside of Braj. And they brought that literature to Bengal and other parts of India. Of course, he was specifically preaching in Orissa, Jagannath Puri and places around there. The Shyamananda is very well known as the deities of Radha Shyama Sundara. Now, let me explain one thing about these deities, because generally when you think about the Goswami temples or the temples of these great devotees, you think of the city of Vrindavan. You go visit the temples of Radha Shyama Sundara, Radha Govinda, Radha Damodar, etc. And of course, most of those deities have been moved to other places for safety after the Mughals attacked Vrindavan. So why is it that we have all these similar temples or same temples or replica temples in Radhakund? Well, the reason is that the deities originally that we know, Radha Govinda, like Radha Govinda Jaipur, were originally in Vrindavan. Then what happened is the Mughals attacked. Those deities were brought to Radhakund for safety. Then the Mughals came in that direction, the west. Then the deities were taken away. But when the deities were taken away, the devotees couldn't deal with the separation from the deities in the temples. So they made Pratibhu deities were installed and replica temples. So you have replica temples of the original temples in Vrindavan, which are non-different than the original temples in Vrindavan. And Pratibhu deities, like most of the temples in Vrindavan, have Pratibhu or replica deities, which are non-different than the original deities, Radha Govinda, Radha Shyama Sundara, Radha Damodara, like that. So that's why you have these same sorts of temples in Radhakund, and we're going to be going around to most, I wouldn't say most of the temples, but many of the temples in Radhakund. So these are the deities of Radha Shyama Sundara. And the story, of course, of Shyamananda, that Shyamananda was cleansing as a service to Radharani, the Kanaka Kunj, and he discovered Radharani's anklet, and he buried it, and finally Lalita came and retrieved it, and he was able to see Lalita by her mercy, and then he got special tilak in his spiritual identity form from Srimati Radharani, the Shyamananda Tilak. Of course, there's a whole story about how his guru did not really appreciate that. Hridaya Chaitanya did not really appreciate that. We don't have time to tell the story. And eventually his guru was won over by Srimati Radharani, and his guru accepted the change of names that he had previously called Dukhi Krishnadas, and now he was called Shyamananda. And this is where that anklet was discovered by Shyamananda. That's, of course, in Vrindavan town. And the original deity of Radha Shyamananda, very beautiful deities. And then, proceeding on that side path, we get to the Radha Damodar temple, or a replica of the Radha Damodar temple. It's there, Jiva Goswami's temple. And Jiva Goswami is known as the most erudite. Which we don't have a lot of music. Anyway. As the most erudite amongst all the Goswamis of Vrindavan, and perhaps the best scholar that India has ever had, is the author of the Shatsundarbhas and many other literatures, Gopal Champu, which I'm working on right now. And his spiritual form is Vilas Manjari. And you see his deity there on the altar. There's two Radha Damodar temples in Govardhan. This is one of them. The original deity of Radha Damodar. Okay, and then we head back to the Parikrama path. You see the trail there, how we were off to the side, heading back to the Parikrama path. And now we are going to go to the Gopinath temple, the Radha Gopinath temple of Janava Mata. And this is a very, very special temple for various reasons. There's Radharani, of course, and Krishna. And then there's another deity there. Now that's a very interesting deity and a very interesting story of that deity. That's the deity to Krishna's right. And the story of that deity, the other female deity, is that once upon a time, Janava Mata, the consort of Lord Nityananda, saw Radha Gopinath, and she thought the original Radharani deity accompanying Gopinath was too small. So she ordered another deity to be sent to Braj. And when that deity got there, the devotees saw, wow, that deity looks like Janava Mata. And Janava Mata in Krishna's pastimes is Ananga Manjari, who is Krishna's cousin. And so the deity there to Krishna's right is considered to be Ananga Manjari or Janava Mata. And this temple, in the same temple courtyard, there's the samadhi of Raghunath Das Goswami. Here's the original deities. Raghunath Das Goswami's samadhi. And devotees circumambulate the samadhi. Three times there's a Akhanda Kirtan going on. Here's the inside of it. Akhanda means unbroken kirtan. And this is, there's a picture of Raghunath Das Goswami. This is connected to Radhakund. After that, we go to the Radhakund area. And the first thing we see when we enter the Radhakund area outside of the temple is the sitting place of Janava Mata. And of course, you see some monkeys there too. So Janava Mata, as I mentioned before, is the consort of Lord Nityananda. She was given a very special sitting place so she could sit and chant on the banks of the Radhakund, and a bathing place where she could actually take a private bath. This was constructed under the guidance of Radhanath Das Goswami. There's another picture of her place. And the devotees who were with me on the Parikrama, taking a little water on their heads. So what I advise the devotees is that only take 3 drops of water on your head. Now, some of the devotees, they like to take full bath, but Srila Prabhupada has instructed us, you just take a little water on your head, and it's the same thing as bathing. And the reason I don't let the devotees go full bath in there is because Radhakund is as dear to Krishna as Srimati Radharani. And it is like when you put your feet in, it's like putting your feet on Radharani. So maybe some very, very advanced devotee can do that. But we see that many of the sadhus who actually live at Radhakund they actually take a lota and pour water on their heads rather than go and immerse themselves. And across the street from that temple, of course, now we've left that whole area of Radha Gopinath temple, is another temple of Lord Shiva, who's the northern guardian. There's all four directions Lord Shiva is guarding. And that temple of Lord Shiva is adjoining a temple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, the replica temple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, of course, was the one who worshipped Radha Raman. So this is a replica of that temple. You see Radha Raman, not the original Radha Raman, but replica Radha Raman deities, and Rivati Balaram on the right. There's the original deity of Radha Raman. And that deity, of course, is one of the few deities, the original deities that are there in Vrindavan. He was manifest from a Shalagram Shila. Gopal Bhatta Goswami had 8 Shalagram Shilas, and he was really hoping to have a deity that he could dress. One time, a very rich man gave him some clothes, and he was thinking, boy, I wish I really had a deity I could dress like the other Goswamis. Then, the next morning, he woke up, and the Damodar Shila became less deity. And across the street, and through the gate, we get to Rupa Goswami's temple. This is the Radha Govinda temple. The Radha Govinda temple of Rupa Goswami. And in this temple, the deities of Radha Govinda, of course, these are not the original deities. These are the replica or Pratibhu deities. Rupa Goswami, of course, is, I would say, the main acharya for us amongst the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan. Prabhupada said, we are Rupanugas. And Prabhupada translated Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and he said that's the law book for the Krishna Consciousness Movement. In other words, the rules, regulations, details, etc., like that for the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Here's a picture of Rupa Goswami, and of course, that's the famous story where Rupa Goswami was thinking of preparing something very nice for his brother, Sanatana Goswami. And what happened is that a little girl came and brought him some ingredients for cooking some very nice sweet rice. He cooked the sweet rice, gave it to Sanatana Goswami, who after was offered to Krishna. And Sanatana Goswami said, where did you get the ingredients? And Rupa Goswami described the little girl who brought him the ingredients. And Sanatana Goswami chastised him for taking service from Krishna or Radharani, and said, we are servants of Radharani. We are not meant to be served by Radharani. And it's Radha Govinda. And then, after we leave the Radha Govinda temple, we turn left and immediately we go to the tongue of Govardhan. There is the tongue of Govardhan. So the story about this tongue of Govardhan is very interesting, that once upon a time, the residents of Radha Kund were digging a well. That well is called the Gopi Kupa, which means the gopi's well, because basically Raghunath Das Goswami didn't want them using Radha Kund to wash their clothes and wash their pots. So he wanted to come up with another source of water. And when they're digging that well, one time they hit a stone and the stone started bleeding. And that night, Raghunath Das Goswami had a dream and Krishna revealed to him, this is the tongue of Govardhan. You should establish a new separate temple. And if the devotees circumambulate this tongue 7 times, it is like going around Govardhan Hill. So you see the devotees doing this. This temple has been recently renovated by the Radha Kund project, which I'm involved in. You can help with the renovation if you want to go to radharani.com. That's radharani.com. And you see the renovation that's going on. Few steps back from that, and then we go in a little alleyway and we get to what's called the Teen Goswami Samadhi. Teen, of course, means three. And so this is the samadhi. Also, Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And the reason it's the three samadhi or three Goswami samadhi is that when the Mughals would come to destroy the temples or destroy the deities, they would also disinter, in other words, dig out the bodies of the great saints and desecrate those bodies. So in order to avoid that, the devotees actually themselves disinterred or dug out the bodies of these three great saints and who had passed away previously and cremated these bodies and kept the ashes in this particular samadhi. So that's why it's called the teen or three Goswami samadhi. And there's the three Goswami samadhi, Raghunath Bhatta, Raghunath Das, and Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami. And some of the writings of the Goswamis are there too. And you see how beautiful the handwriting is, Rupa Goswami and some of the other Goswamis, how precise that handwriting is. Prabhupada one time was talking about writing Devanagari. Prabhupada said, nowadays, referring to Devanagari used in Hindi, he says, nobody has good writing. But actually the Goswamis of Vrindavan has such beautiful writing that it's described that Rupa Goswami's writing was considered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be like pearls that were strung on a thread. See, very, very precise writing. I mean, nobody writes so beautifully like that anymore. Whoops. Oh. Let me go back. Hold on a second. That was unintentional. Let's go back to where we were. Hopefully we can go back. Yeah, there we go. Present slide. Hold on a second. Okay. Let's go back. There's the handwriting. And then a few steps away, overlooking Radhakund, is a Bhajan Kutir Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And it's another swinging place of the divine couple. You see? And then we turn towards Shyamakund through an alleyway. And there, we see, let me just turn on the volume of this other thing. Hold on. We are broadcasting from the temple, so there's a few little glitches that I'm not accustomed to here. So we see the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, which is facing the Shyamakund. And in this Bhajan Kutir, something very interesting happened nearby the Bhajan Kutir before Raghunath Das Goswami built his Bhajan Kutir. What happened is that once upon a time, Raghunath Das Goswami, being very renounced, refused to build a Bhajan Kutir or place of his Bhajan. And he was basically living outside, chanting outside, but it was quite dangerous because there were tigers there at that particular juncture. And the tigers used to come to drink from Radhakund and Shyamakund. So once upon a time, Sanatan Goswami came and he observed the tigers were there. Not only did he observe the tigers were there, he observed that Krishna was guarding Raghunatha. And Sanatan Goswami chastised Raghunath Das Goswami and said, you must build a Bhajan Kutir. You cannot take shelter, but you cannot take service from Krishna. So Raghunath Das Goswami thought, no, I don't need Bhajan Kutir. So later on, Sanatan Goswami came back, and during a very hot day, very hot there, like 50 degrees centigrade during,
I think you was said something from the
during certain seasons.
The article.
During a very hot time, he saw that Srimati Radharani was guarding Raghunath Das Goswami, keeping him from the sun with her shawl. And so he chastised Raghunath Das Goswami, and eventually Raghunath Das Goswami built a bhajan kutir. Later on, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, several centuries later, built the bhajan kutir right next to him. And as I mentioned before, right next to their bhajan kutir was the bhajan kutir of Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, who wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita from this particular locale. You see an inside view of his bhajan kutir. So these bhajan kutirs are facing the Shyamakund, the kund made by Krishna. And right on the steps going down to that Shyamakund, there's a tree called a pilu tree. And that pilu tree is an incarnation of a brahmana from Varanasi. And that brahmana from Varanasi was there during Krishna's pastimes, of Radharani's pastimes, and witnessed all these different pastimes of Radha and Krishna on the banks of the Shyamakund. And he related those pastimes to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who later saw or was able to communicate with the pilu tree. Pretty amazing. The pilu tree is still there, and we circumambulate the tree. And as I mentioned before, the Pandavas are or were living on the banks of the Shyamakund. That's why the Shyamakund is shaped so irregularly. And right now, most of the Pandava trees, well, all of them are actually dead. The only tree remaining is the Bhima tree. A few years ago, you could see the Arjuna tree. So this pilu tree was a place for the hanging of the gopis' clothes, a bathing place for Radha and Krishna. So there's the Arjuna tree, which you see right here, and right there, but it's not existing anymore. It hasn't been existing for several years. So from this Manasat Pavana Ghat, you can see the Sangam, that means where Radha Kund and Shyamakund meet. Then right next to all those bhajan kutirs, there's the Chaitanya Gadadhar temple, which is the temple that Gangamata Goswamini, this great acharya in our sampradaya, lady acharya in our sampradaya, kept. And that's not Gangamata Goswamini, that's Padma Gopi, many, many years ago. And the devotees there are chanting the Lord's holy name. The deity is there. Beautiful deities of Srila's Radha and Krishna. Then we go back to the Parikrama path, and down another side street, we find Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajan Kutir, and also Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur resided here. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur here, within this Bhajan Kutir, had discussions with His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. There's samadhis here, of Pushpa samadhis of great saints, including Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And what you see here that looks like a bed is not actually a bed. It is a swing, something that was previously, hung from the ceiling in another room in this Bhajan Kutir. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would sit on this swing. And when he would sit on the swing, he talked to the devotees. And one of the devotees he talked to was His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And that's where he told Prabhupada that if you ever get any money, print and distribute books. He even said at that point that if he could sell the marble from the temples to print and distribute books, he would do that. Famous shoes and cane. Because he said, in order to control the mind, you have to sort of like beat the mind with shoes and beat the mind with canes, with a cane in the morning and the evening. So that's his cane. And when we used to go there, we would take that cane and sort of like tap on our heads and tap on everyone else's head. But now it's within a glass cage, a case. So there you cannot touch it anymore. There's a Jagannath temple. They have Jagannath Rath Yatra, very close to that particular spot when we go on the Parikrama path. Then there's another temple of Radha Damodar, Jiva Goswami's temple. This is right next to Lalita Kund. These are the deities there. And Lalita Kund is the Kund of Lalita Devi, of course. And here the devotees are taking some water and putting it on their heads. And right next to that Kund, there's a temple of Lalita Vihari. That's beautiful deities of Lalita and Krishna. So the Radhakund and Shyamakund have surrounding them the Astasakis, and also the eight coward boys, kuns for each of them, and which are shaped like lotus petals. This is described by Srila Jiva Goswami and the other acharyas. There's a temple. Next, we pass the temple of Radha Vinod, and this is Lokanath Goswami's deities, Radha Vinod deities. And interesting thing about Lokanath Goswami, he was sent by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Raj, and before the Goswamis, other Goswamis like Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, were sent there to arrange the grounds to prepare everything for the other Goswamis of Vrindavan. He was an intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and could not bear to see Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya sent him away before he took sannyasa, and he never, let's say, externally saw Lord Chaitanya again. These are the deities, the Vinod. And then there's a Manipura temple here, that where they have deities Radha Govinda. Then there's the famous Gopi Kupa. That means the well that was dug where the tongue of Govardhan was found. And this Gopi Kupa is, we circumambulate the Gopi Kupa, go down a side alleyway at this point, and we find the sitting place of Madhavendra Puri, who was the spiritual master of Ishwara Puri, who was the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. And Madhavendra Puri would sit on the banks of the Shyamakund and chant the holy names, and these are his deities, Radha and Krishna deities. And some of the pictures are more modern. And deities of Gauranatai, the Dvaitacharya that he worshipped there. Then Jayadeva Goswami, who was the author of the Gita Govinda and the famous prayers, the Dashavatara prayers, has a temple there. And this is called the Radha Madhava Temple. Very, very beautiful, clean temple. Then we get to Lord Chaitanya's sitting place on the banks of the Shyamakund. Lord Chaitanya would sit here and chant japa, and inside this sitting place are various pictures of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the pastimes of Krishna. And you see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preaching to the Kazi, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Haridas Thakur's body when Haridas Thakur left this world. So many beautiful pictures, and that's kept up very, very well. Is the inside of the little temple where Lord Chaitanya is worshipped. And there's Lord Chaitanya sitting on the banks of the Shyamakund. And as we mentioned before, Lord Chaitanya, of course, this is looks like a lot bigger than Radhakund. This is probably Lord Chaitanya. It's supposed to be Lord Chaitanya bathing in Radhakund, but actually it looks more like the ocean. And then right next to there, there's the Temple of Vallabhacharya, which has the dice platform of Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna used to play dice, gamble, and they would gamble for things like kisses and embraces. This is described by the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Here's the dice platform. Now, I'm not saying that that's the original dice platform, but this is a replica of the dice platforms of Radha and Krishna, where they used to gamble on the banks of the Shyamakund. Type of chess they would play. And across the street, there's a Lakshmi Nrsimha temple. Lakshmi Narayan Center, Lakshmi Narayan Temple. We're almost finished with the Parikrama. And Sanatan Goswami's temple. Sanatan Goswami, of course, is Madan Mohan's. He installed Madan Mohan, the Radha Madan Mohan temple. And this is on the banks of the Shyamakund also. And there's the Bhajan Kutir, Sanatan Goswami, and the Madan Mohan deities. And Rita Saki, there's Madan Mohan. And the meeting place of Radha Kund and Shyamakund, which is called the Sangam, and they have some deities there on the Sangam. Sometimes during the rainy season, the Sangam, Radha Kund and Shyamakund overflow the Sangam, and it's covered with water. And there's a Banki Bihari temple on the Sangam. Also a Gornatai temple that's very close on the way to the Sangam. So Prabhupada said that Raghunath Das Goswami showed us how to live at Radha Kund. He was circumambulating Radha Kund, falling down, making a mark. That is a Radha Kund Vasi. Not only counting the holy names, but offering obeisances so many hundred times. And he showed so much Vairagya, which means renunciation, he showed. He can take bath in the Radha Kund. First of all, do this like Raghunath Das Goswami. So Radha Kund is a very exalted place. Prabhupada did not want us staying at Radha Kund, but he said we could visit Radha Kund, and that's the injunction given to us by Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. He said, you keep Radha Kund on your head, and if you want to stay nearby, you can stay at Govardhan. Another temple we're visiting is the another Radha Gopinath temple, which was established by Madhu Pandit. And next to, in the same temple room as the Radha Gopinath temple, you will find the place of the sitting place of Lord Nityananda. This is where Lord Nityananda, who is older than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, stayed waiting for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to manifest his preaching pastimes. So he was remaining here in Radha Kund, waiting for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take take initiation from Ishwara Puri, manifest the preaching pastimes, and then he rushed immediately to Mayapur, stayed at the house of Nandanacharya, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he met, and they started the Sankirtan movement. But this is where he remained after going on pilgrimage for a long time around India. Here the devotees are circumambulating. Recently, this particular little temple inside a temple has been renovated. So it's much nicer now, what's been done. And then the final temple we'll go to is the Radha Gokulananda temple. It's actually as you leave the Radha Kund area, it's maybe half a block away. This is hidden inside the path going out of Radha Kund. It's very hard to find. And this is Radha Gokulananda, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's temple. Because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is known as the Rasacharya. And he has related many of the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Here is the deities of Radha Gokulananda. And this is our group, one of our groups. Actually, whenever we go, we take many, many groups around. And next time, as I said last week, next time we go to Govardhan and we do the Radha Kund Parikrama, we invite you all to come. What we do, the way we do the Govardhan Radha Kund Parikrama is very interesting. Instead of trying to go around everything in one day, we do half of Govardhan one day and actually take our time and explain all the pastimes that took place in each and every place, and then do the other half of Govardhan the second day, and on the third day we spend the day going to all these different places in Radha Kund. So we're not rushing around, because what I've experienced is if you take the devotees around the Govardhan Radha Kund area in one day, it's actually so quick and so tiring for the devotees that they can't really appreciate, at least most devotees can't really appreciate what's happening and enter deeply into the stories of each and every place, into the mood of Govardhan and Radhakund. So it's better to do this very, very slowly. So we alternate like that, one day one half, one day another half, next day Radhakund, and then we start again. So if you come for at least 3 days to join us. And so we were able to visit Radhakund by the mercy, of course, of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, and the reciprocal succession, and specifically by the mercy of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, who developed these holy places. They were given the order by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not only to write Vaishnava literatures, you know, like it's described by Srinivasacharya, Nana Shastra Vichara and Aikinipano, Sadharma Samstapako, in other words, establishing eternal religious principles, studying various literatures, spiritual literatures, but also excavating the holy places, establishing the holy places, and laying the groundwork for the Krishna consciousness movement. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a plan, and his plan was Yari Dekatari Bhara Krishna Pratesh, that this Krishna consciousness movement should be spread everywhere. Let me just take us out of the slideshow now so you can see. So this Krishna consciousness movement should be spread everywhere in this world. And in order to accomplish that, we need first the holy place, literatures, and the Goswami. This is step by step, Lord Chaitanya was planning this thing. He came first to reestablish the real meaning of the Vedic literatures, and then he had his followers establish the holy places, write transcendental literatures, taking the essence of all the scriptures in the world. And then after that, the reciprocal succession established more philosophical points and practical applications of Krishna consciousness, including Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladeva Vibhushan. I'm not going to go through everything. And then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur established the preaching mood worldwide, the willingness to actually adjust things so that everybody in the world could take up Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada, as his primary disciple, as the primary disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, took that mood and enabled everyone in the world to be acquainted with Krishna's holy name. So this is a step-by-step procedure. Things don't happen overnight. So eventually this Krishna consciousness movement will become so prominent that governments will be influenced by it, masses of people will be influenced by the movement, the whole world will change. But it will take time, just like it took time from the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Prabhupada's preaching mission. And that's, you know, that's a very short time. It's, you know, over 500 years. So it may take another 500 or 600 or 1,000 years for things to happen on a large scale. We should be patient. But internally, we can make a revolution, just like the Bhagavatam describes, that this Vedic literature is meant to create a revolution, Tadvad Visargo Jamatanga Bipapo, etc. Create a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. So first we should start with a revolution in our own hearts. So this is Krishna consciousness. So now we can take some questions. I have to turn up the volume so I can hear your questions. Okay, so who has a question? Nalini Kant?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah.
You mentioned one who can do Dandavat Parikrama as Raghunath Das Goswami. He can take a bath in...
No. That was just one of the requirements. First of all, there's no indication that Raghunath Das Goswami did Dandavat Parikrama around Radhakund or around Govardhan, which many devotees do. But he would offer 1,000 obeisances to Vaishnavas every day. That's one of the things he did. And he would serve the Vaishnavas, and he was a pure devotee devoid of any anarthas. I mean, it's just It's not just you offer a whole bunch of dandavats and you become qualified as a gopi. I mean, I wish it was like that. And for myself, I would just like get some motorized thing to push me on the ground like thousands of times a day so I could become qualified. You know, I just like, I'd be doing push-ups. I'd go to some gym or something like that and learn how to do a lot of push-ups. I thought that was a requirement. But it's a question of consciousness. Not just you offer the dandavat, but you actually have to understand I'm a servant of Krishna, and then you're qualified. And anyway, we take 3 drops of water on our heads, and that is sufficient. That is the same as, you get the same benefit. Just like when you're given Mahaprasadam, let's say you're given a giant plate of Mahaprasadam, but you see that this big. It's not that you'll get more spiritual benefit by eating the whole thing. If you just eat one little bit, you get the same amount of spiritual benefit as you would get. Of course, if you eat the whole thing, you'd probably be out cold for a few days. So, okay. So who has more questions?
Thank you, Gurudev.
Hey, Bob. Rishikesh.
Gurudev, I want to know, when is the actual appearance day of Radha Kund? Is it November or is it somewhere in?
It's not November. It's, and I forget the actual date now. It's sometime in the springtime, according to the Acharyas. And I forget, I did some research on it a while ago, and I actually don't remember the exact date at this point.
Okay.
But it's not in November. It's not Baha'u'llāh-ṣṭhami. It's definitely, according to our Acharyas, it's not Baha'u'llāh-ṣṭhami.
Okay.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Sudharma. I recognize your voice.
Please accept my humble obeisances. Maharaj, I'd like to thank you so much. My Dandavat pranams to you thousands and thousands of times for giving me this opportunity to be with you in the Parikramas and the South Indian Kuva. Thank you so much for showing these slides. Amazingly prepared. You put in so much time and effort. So thank you so much that you included me by your mercy on this Parikrama. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, you were with us.
Hare Krishna.
So Sudharma is from New Zealand, in case you don't know. So any other questions or comments before we have Hare a Krishna. Ryan?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Raj. I have a question. Yeah, go ahead, Prabhuji.
Okay, you go ahead, Mataji, then I'll ask. Okay, no worries.
Yeah.
I'll ask. Thank you. So my question is, the Goswamis were disciples of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we see that there was lots of like Gaur Nitai and Gaur Gadadhar worship in Navadvip. But yeah. In Vrindavan, is there that much worship of Gaur Nitai or Gaur Gadadhar established by Goswamis? Or why?
No, there's not so much worship of as much as you would find in Navadvip of Gaur Gadadhar or Gaur Gadadhar. Usually in most of the temples, there'd be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna. That was the Braj mood. You'd find, like even Prabhupada, in the Mathura temple of Prabhupada's godbrother, Keshava Maharaj, Prabhupada donated the Lord Chaitanya Devi, which is right in front of, right next to Radha and Krishna. So that's generally the mood. I mean, you don't find, other than maybe one temple in Radhakund, you don't really find Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra being worshipped either. You know, maybe there's one temple there for them, because basically Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra are worshipped in the mood of Viparlamba, you know, separation from Vrindavan. So it would be, it's a little bit different mood. Actually, quite a bit different mood. So therefore, you don't really find those deities. And sometimes you find Gaur-Nitai, especially in the ISKCON temples. But generally it's Lord Chaitanya and then Radha Krishna next to them. next to Lord Chaitanya. But not Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, because you can't have Lord Nityananda on the same altar as Radha and Krishna, just like you can't have Balaram on the same altar with Radha and Krishna. They have to have a separate altar, like in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. You find Gornitai, Krishna Balaram, and Radha Shyam Sundar all on separate altars. There's different moods. So that's generally the mood of Vrindavan. Okay?
Yeah, thank you so much, Maharaj, for your wonderful class. And you took us to Vrindavan, and along with your association, it was so nice to have the pilgrimage of Vrindavan. Hare
Krishna. Well, next time you have to come with us.
Yes, Maharaj, please.
I think Abhishek, you had a question?
Yeah, Dhanavat Maharaj, this is Abhiram. Please accept my humble obeisance.
Abhiram, yeah. I didn't recognize you. With the sunglasses on, you know, I guess it's...
Yeah, because there's some sunrise. Okay, that's the thing. Okay.
I guess it's just so bright there and
yeah. Bright. And the rays coming on my eyes, that's the thing. Okay. Maharaj, I just have a question. When we are talking about Shyamkund and the Radhakund, is it the same Shyamkund and the Radhakund is also there in the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Masi body, which is in the Mayapur?
Well, it's like a replica. Yeah, in the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you find Shyamkund and Radhakund. There's a replica, and because it's a replica installed by a great devotee, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it's considered to have the same potency as Radhakund and Shyamkund. And also, you will find the Govardhan Hill there in the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, too. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And that Govardhan Hill is so merciful, you could circumambulate in about maybe half a minute or 15 seconds. You can do a Dandabhat Parikrama in 1 minute, or, you know, maybe not 1 minute, 5 minutes. So it's interesting. Like Srila Prabhupada established temples of Radha and Krishna all over the world, like we have our Radha Golokananda temple. And the deities here are non-different than the deities of Radha Shyam Sundar or any Radha Krishna deities. This is the mercy of great devotees like Srila Prabhupada. They're able to invoke the presence of different holy dhams and different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, good question.
And can I ask you one more thing, Maharaj?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So when we read sometimes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, or sometimes when I was there in the Mayapur when I was doing some seva, somebody told that Vrindavan is not different from the Mayapur Dham, because is it all the pastimes what happened in the Vrindavan had also taken place in the Mayapur?
Yes, these pastimes are manifest there, but it's Mayapur is called Gupta Vrindavan. It's hidden Vrindavan, as you probably know. So the same pastimes are there, and the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were taking place in Braj. But Prabhupada described that there is a veneer, which means a thin covering, of yogamaya, which keeps people from seeing these things. And if one has spiritual vision, one can actually experience the presence of Krishna. I mean, it's not... Like some people say, let's say there's this place in the Vrindavan called Seva Kunj. It's not that every night that Krishna's coming out and dancing. You know, they make all these different stories about that. Every night Krishna's coming out and dancing, even the monkeys go away. And so, you know, if that was the case, I would put some web cameras there. You know, web cameras? So I could watch on TV. You know, it's not. I mean, you hear all these different stories in Braj about these different things, but basically, these pastimes are aprakrita. They're not manifest now.
Thank you.
At least to me and most people, they're not manifest.
Sure.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Maharaj.
Well, we have one question from people here. Someone here is Gopal. You can see him. So what's his question? I'll have to repeat it because you need the microphone.
Earlier you spoke about Raghunath Das Goswami getting chastised by Sanatana Goswami for not building a budget of Pujya.
Yeah.
because we're not supposed to take service
from Krishna.
Krishna, but we are supposed to take shelter. So can you go into a little bit more detail as to the difference between taking shelter and accepting service?
All right. Taking shelter means we follow directions, use our intelligence, use our God-given ability, but we don't let Krishna do it for us. You know, Krishna has given us the intelligence to do something, the ability. We should do it. You know, it's not that Krishna becomes a contractor. Krishna's not a contractor. Now, Krishna wants to see us work, not just sit down and go to sleep. All right, I think we have to end now because it's time, and I want to let Aditya Narayan Prabhu make some announcements, because we are all, he put a chat up about how to give donations, because we're all working for Aditya Narayan. He's the boss here. I'm just your servant.
I'm just
a retired gentleman here. So,
thank you, Maharaj, for such a wonderful tour. Of Radha Kund, and we are very grateful for your kindness and association and your blessing that you allow us to do a little service here at New Goloka Dham. So again, like last week, you took us on Govardhan Parikrama and this time on Radha Kund, and it was so nice to actually see all those deities and all those important places. And it's just like, as I mentioned last time, we are just like looking forward to an opportunity to personally go with you and have the tour. So we pray for that opportunity to have your personal association in these dhams. But thank you so much, Maharaj, for this wonderful tour. It was very enlightening. It was as if we were there. So we are very grateful for your wonderful presentation. So Maharaj will also be giving the morning Srimad Bhagavatam classes on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So again, it will be on Zoom, the same link that you're watching right now, and also on Mayapur.tv Hillsboro channel. So that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also tomorrow is actually the disappearance of Sri Ramananda Rai. And Mother Urmila will be giving the class again, 6:30 a.m. You can watch it on Mayapur.tv, Hillsboro channel. And also Mother Krishna Priya, she does Facebook Live. So tomorrow morning will be class by Her Grace Mother Urmila. And that's the upcoming events. And I put up the link here. So if you'd like to make any donations to Sri Sri Radha Golokananda and New Goloka Dham, you can actually do there's a PayPal link, newgoloka108@gmail.com, or you can go to our website. And also, we are actually shipping out Prabhupada's books for free. So if anyone would like to, like everyone is locked down, this is a good opportunity to go deeper into studying Prabhupada's books. So we are actually doing free shipping during this time. So if you'd like to have a full set of Srimad Bhagavatam or a full set of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, we also have sets called the Saptarshi set, the 7 books together. Or the Panchatattva set, 5 books together. So wonderful collection of books, or Brihad Bhagavatamrita. If any of the books you don't have and you're looking for any material to read, please do contact us. My number is there, and I'll put up our temple email, which is isconnc@gmail.com. So you can also email us at this website, at the Gmail address here, and we'll be happy to ship out Prabhupada's books to you. So thank you to each one of you for joining the call and giving us your association here. And also today is actually Mother's Day. So we'd like to thank all the mothers for all your wonderful service and association. And it's such a blessing to have all these wonderful mothers who are actually our inspiration and rendering such wonderful, inspiring service to our deities and distributing books and prasadam and just unlimited services. So all glories to all the mothers. Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you are on mute. Maharaj, you are on mute. We cannot hear you.
What about the mother cow?
What, Maharaj? We can't hear you. You missed. Maharaj, you're on mute. We cannot hear you.
You got a glitch here. Okay. What about the mother cow?
What about the mother cow? That's a question mark.
Yeah.
So we certainly offer all our respects to mother cow, and actually, like how entire Srimad Bhagavatam and all our scriptures, Prabhupada, our acharyas, stress the importance of cow protection. And we have like so many wonderful projects all over ISKCON. So you can actually contribute to these projects. And over here, locally, we have two devotees who are actually maintaining a farm with beautiful cows. And they are taking care of the cows. So if you'd like to help with any go-seva also, you can reach out to us. And it's extremely important to take care of the cows. I remember in one of the purports in Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, if there's no cow protection, there is no human civilization. So cow protection is extremely important. So we have many projects all over ISKCON, all over the world. You can also, like in Vrindavan, we have a big Goshala and so many other places. So it's nice to actually give a part of our earning towards protection of cows. It's an extremely important project for ISKCON worldwide.
Yeah, we have also made a determination here to not buy any milk from the slaughterhouse cows. So even though we're going to be paying a lot more, not just from the devotee farms, but there's some other farms here that are ahimsa farms where you have to pay like 3 or 4 times the amount for milk. So we've made the determination that we're buying milk for the deities or for the devotees or whatever. The milk will only come from protected cows. So we'd like to ask all of you to do that if you can. Because the way the cows are treated now in the commercial world, or you know, producing commercial milk, is akin to I don't want to say slaughterhouse would actually be praising it. It's akin to like a concentration camp in World War II. So do some research, but we don't want to be responsible for the mistreatment of cows. And so we in Nukaloka have taken that determination. We ask all the temples to take that determination. And if you don't have a devotee farm near you, try to make an arrangement with a farm and be willing to pay 3, 4, or even 5 times the amount for milk, just so you're not paying for cows to be tortured. So that's my message on Mother's Day. Okay, on that happy note, thank you all. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Hari Bol.